Yeah. So we've been working through a book by Bill Johnson called Face to Face with God. And it is a book that I would highly recommend if you're wanting to grow in him. The thing with Bill Johnson is that, you know, if you listen to him preach or if you read his books, you've actually got to stop the recording often just to try and absorb what he's saying, because there's always so much depth to it. There's such wisdom. He's a man that does really walk in the gift of wisdom, in my opinion. So this book is... Yeah, it's really focused on this thing of how do we come to see the face of God? And at the beginning of the one chapter, he says the quest for the face of God has two central dimensions, and I've read this before, the quest for his presence and the quest for his favor. And so we've looked at the quest for his presence. There'll be more of that in the chapters to come. And the previous time we met, we looked at the quest for his favor. And the emphasis of last time was that the favor of God comes when there is faithfulness. The faithful servant receives the favor of God. And he continues to talk into this thing of favor, but now looks at it from the perspective of wisdom. So we know that faithfulness draws the favor of God, and wisdom draws the favor of God. And I'm going to just read what he says. To want to grow in favor with God is the most natural desire in the world. And wisdom knows how. Wisdom knows how to grow in the favor of God. Increase in wisdom and increase in favor go hand in hand for us because they are interdependent. And obviously, Jesus is the one that models wisdom. He modeled it. The scripture that he gives, we've read this a few times, Luke 2:52. So that's like a foundational scripture for this book. Luke 2:52, he increased in wisdom. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. And as he says, Jesus, I always use this phrase, Jesus is wisdom personified. Jesus represents wisdom. So if we want to grow in wisdom, because we want to receive more of the favor of God, Jesus has to be our ultimate model and example. The scripture there is 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. I don't know if somebody wants to turn there and just read it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Okay.
That of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Okay. So the key phrase there is Christ Jesus became for us wisdom from God. So there we see it. My translation spoke about God made him, Jesus, to be wisdom itself. Jesus is wisdom. So to grow in wisdom, we've got to look at the life of Jesus. But another area where we could go to is the book of Proverbs. Okay, the book filled with wise sayings. Yeah, it's beautiful. And he gives a whole lot of points around the connection of favor and wisdom. And I just want to share some of those points with you. The first is Proverbs 3:3-4. I don't know if somebody wants to turn there. Proverbs 3:3-4. We're going to be in this book, so you might as well go there and stay there. Okay.
Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder, write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation.
That's it. Beautiful. So, what translation is yours?
Not.
Is it? Okay. Never let loyalty, truth, and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Loyalty and kindness, love and faithfulness. Different translations speak of different things. But kindness and love go together, and then there's also loyalty, faithfulness, and truth, depending on the translation. And then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. If we want the favor of God and the favor of men, we have to be people that are loyal, people that are faithful, people that are filled with love. Loyalty and kindness means an increase of divine favor. Second proverb is Proverbs 8:35. I don't know if somebody wants to read that one.
I've got it here.
Okay.
For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord.
Yeah. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. So if we look back, this is chapter 8. Proverbs 8 is the wisdom chapter. So it starts by saying, listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance to the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. And then it's just this incredible chapter about wisdom. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with it. And then in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. Wisdom, good judgment. I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. And it goes on, but just think of this as being a chapter that speaks of Jesus, because Jesus equals wisdom. So this is Jesus. This is wisdom. And it says there at the end that whoever finds me being wisdom finds life and receives favor from the Lord. So if you want to increase in favor with God, increase in wisdom. And wisdom is explained so beautifully in Proverbs 8. He says here, finding wisdom and therefore favor is the process of discovering and correctly aligning our lives in relationship with the head, Christ, and with our unique destiny to express an aspect of his nature in a way that no one else can. Only Shani can express what God has called her to in her way. God has called her to something unique. Ingrid, you know, he's called you to something specific. You express yourself in a certain way. It's something to celebrate. And he asks you to walk in that and to walk in that with wisdom and with integrity. The third point is Proverbs 11:27. Proverbs 11:27 says, "He who diligently seeks good seeks favor." So I don't know what the other translations say. 11:27.
Trouble will come to him who seeks evil.
Evil, yeah. If you search for good, you will find favor. Sorry, my nose is running. Bill Johnson says this: those who put extra effort in pursuing the things that please the Lord and bring benefit to the king and his people cannot help but increase in favor with God and with man. Thank you. So, some of the definitions of goodness: to be pleasant, to be cheerful. I love that. To be gracious, kind, generous. Thank you, Jane, for always being so generous. You are generous with your kindness. You are generous with your finances. You are generous. I mean, with home group, Carol Ann, you're the same. Every home group, she cooks meals. You do as well. I mean, I'm like, no, this must be shared. You know, they just merrily cook these meals, and it's incredible. And they do it without complaining. I have to admit that I really do sometimes complain. Yeah, it's just, yeah, but you know, again, it's this thing of everyone has a unique gifting. And so, yeah, some things I'm just not as good with, you know, and other things I might be better at, but you two are just so incredibly generous, and there's a goodness to that, you know. I don't really, I'm not a part of your group, so I never know what goes on, but I can imagine you cook every Wednesday. Oh, it's incredible. Anyway, so God's goodness can always be recognized in those who seem to overflow with joy, encouragement, forgiveness, peace, and generosity. Their goodness is the fruit of a life lived in celebration of their life with God. And because they are like Him, He is drawn to them. Because I'm reflecting something of my Father's drawn to me. Isn't that incredible? Good people are easy to promote. Easy to promote. And that's true. So a good man will obtain favor from the Lord. The fourth one is Proverbs 13, verse 15. Okay. Who wants to read that one? What translation is that? Amplified. I like that. Just read it again.
Good understanding means favor from others, but the way of the unfaithful is hard, like barren, dry soil.
The way of the unfaithful is hard, like dry, barren soil. The unfaithful. Remember, we compared faithfulness. We said faithful servants receive the favor of God. Unfaithful servants, dry, barren, hard ground. So what he's got with his translation is, good understanding or good sense produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. So the emphasis is on this thing of understanding, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And he says that so often in our Christian circles, we are sometimes told that we've just got to disengage our brains and just, you know, we don't need to engage our brains. We don't have to be thinkers. And this speaks of something else. We need to be those that would understand, that would seek to understand. I always love my husband's mind because he's always seeking to understand more. He's seeking to have answers to the questions that we have. You know, where do the aliens come from? Or what happened with the dinosaurs? We were having this discussion the other day about that pre-Adamite race. Was there a pre-creation? We have these conversations all the time about the Nephilim and what are they? Do they exist today? It's so important to be thinkers, to not disengage your brain, to have minds that would engage. Not mindless Christianity is what he says. He says, after all, we call to be disciples. And disciples means learners. So we call to be those that would learn. Jesus certainly sought to bring his disciples into a deeper understanding of kingdom reality. Those who pursue understanding life from God's perspective please him greatly. I love that. Those who pursue understanding life from God's perspective please him greatly. If you choose to grow in understanding, you draw the favor of God. Okay, so that was the fourth one. The fifth one is Proverbs 14, verse 35. Proverbs 14, verse 35. If anyone's got that one, you can read it.
The king rejoices in wise servants, but is angry with those who disgrace him.
That's it. That's my translation. Is anybody, what's the Amplified say?
The king's favor and good will are toward a servant who acts wisely and discreetly.
Hmm, I like that. Discreetly.
Oh no.
Discreetly, yeah. I can't say that's my gifting. But, yeah. To act wisely. A deep-seated awareness of the king's thoughts and values. Such a lifestyle attracts the king's scepter of favor. Isn't that beautifully written? A deep-seated awareness of the king's thoughts and values attracts the king's scepter of favor. Okay, the sixth one. Proverbs 18:22. This is an important one. Who wants to read that one?
Can I read it, please?
Yes.
He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord.
Beautiful, hey? The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. So the way that Bill Johnson sees this is that there's two aspects to it. That it's this thing of those that correctly steward marriage receive favor. So it's not just about a man finding a wife, having the favor of God, but it's a man and a woman who correctly steward marriage receive the favor of God. It's an incredible thing. Mm-hmm. We want our marriages to be fruitful because when there's a fruitfulness, we receive the favor of God. beautiful. And he says it also is about this thing of the church. So think about the marriage of Jesus with his bride, the church, right? Jesus is the head of the church. Think about it in that context. When we steward our relationship with the church well, the favor of God is on that. When we honor the bride, when Susie's more careful with what she says about a fellow believer, there's more favor of God because she's honoring the bride. Okay? And therefore, there's more of the favor of God. He says the groom is to love his bride as Jesus loves the church and died for her. The bride is to honor and respect the groom as the church respects God. Stewarding marriage by maintaining honor and love in the relationship is to position oneself for increase of favor with God and man. So that's obviously the context of marriage. When I honor my husband, when he honors me, when there's mutual submission, when there's mutual love, the favor of God is there. When I honor Sandra as a fellow believer, daughter of Christ, the favor of God is there. It's beautiful. He says, as you can see from these verses, those who grow in favor are not those who are focused on jumping through hoops and crossing things off the list in order to get God's attention. It's not about a list where we've got to cross it off. That's the mentality of a hired servant, not a friend. A friend grows in favor by embracing a life of obedience, motivated by passion for him and him alone. This truth is an important factor to remember when pursuing God's favor. It's simply, bless you, it's simply this thing of, it's a privilege to know you, and through knowing you, I will grow in favor. But it's not because I want favor. It's just because I want to be closer to you. Mm-hmm. It's what Tandi was saying. I want to eat your word. I want to feed on your word. I'm on a quest for your presence. I'm on a quest for your face. More of you, Lord Jesus. And then he just to conclude, he talks about this thing of how God's favor affirms our identity. Okay? God's favor affirms our identity. So we all want to receive recognition, affirmation, encouragement. It's a basic human need. We want to be affirmed. We want to be encouraged. Everyone has a deep-seated awareness of incompleteness apart from outside recognition and affirmation. He gives the example of his children. We all know. A child is doing something. What is the first thing, a five-year-old? They do something, and what are they saying? Mommy, mommy, watch me. Watch me. You know, they're about to jump in the pool or they're riding their bike. Mommy, mommy, watch me. A child wants affirmation from a parent. And the more affirmation they receive, the more stable their sense of identity is. Okay? So he says, at an early age, Children can be seen pursuing recognition from someone important to them. Daddy, watch me. Daddy, watch me was heard frequently in my house when my children were about to try something new or courageous. The attention they got from me and the subsequent cheers of support were essential building blocks of their self-esteem and confidence in life. While I worked hard to give them my undivided attention in those moments, there was an unusually greater positive effect whenever I spoke highly of them to my friends in their presence. It seemed to communicate to them my ultimate sign of approval. So when he would encourage his son in something, and it was just a private thing, it was awesome, that child was encouraged. But when that child was encouraged in front of others, there was an increased sense of affirmation, of a growth in confidence in that child. Public acknowledgement. We all most probably know what our giftings are. I know what my giftings are, but when my husband says to me, "Susie, you did so well," it just means the world to me. Now, he's not an encourager. That is not his primary gifting, you know? It's just not who he is. And so he acknowledges, "I've got to learn to encourage you more." Whereas for me, it's like a primary thing. "Babes, you did so well." You know, "Oh, that's awesome. Well done," you know? But the minute there's a public recognition of a gifting, there's something beautiful about it. Now, interestingly, what did God do over Jesus when there was that baptism? "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The mark of divine favor upon a life is always such a heavenly cry. Isn't that beautiful? The challenge for every one of us is to renew our minds and hearts so that our affections are anchored, keeping God's approval as our supreme goal and reward. That's the word that we want to hear. I want to hear from my Father, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to know his favors upon me, that he's saying to me, "Well done, Susie, you did a good job." Keeping God's approval must be our supreme goal and reward, not man's approval. Okay. Most of us, in fact, need to break our agreement with the spirit of the fear of man. The fear of man first, in order to be free to develop the proper priorities when it comes to God's favor and man's favor. Many people don't recognize that their agreement with that spirit is still operating in their thinking, so they will not venture out in their passion for God without the approval of others. Now that's something that I'm challenged by in a massive way, because I want the approval of people. I do. But sometimes, hey, we all do. You know, we want the approval of people, but sometimes we've got to do something that might not get the approval of men, because it's going to be something unusual. It's going to be something perhaps a bit, yeah, different. I'm careful to use the word weird, but yeah. 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 And sometimes, you know, I know, like for Millen, when he got saved, he was not popular with his family because they didn't understand that. When he got baptized, they were like, "What are you doing?" You know, there's certain things that we have to do as believers that don't always make sense. You know, when we, as I shared last time, when we packed up we sold our beautiful house, people said to us, "Are you crazy? We sold our house, we sold our car to buy air tickets, and we flew across to the Comores, and we lived in a Zozo hut, and we made a whole lot of sacrifices, and people thought we were crazy." You know, absolutely crazy. I mean, you guys, you've received such I don't know if it's been opposition, but certainly a lot of questions, like in terms of what you've done, you know, making a whole lot of sacrifices in terms of the haven. Mm-hmm. People are like, they were on their way to America, the land of the free and the brave. The brave and the free. And now they're living in Hearties, having given up a whole lot of stuff. And from a worldly perspective, people are going, what the heck? Are you crazy? You know? So Jesus warns in John 5 verse 44. I've typed it out or written it out. You gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor from the one and only God. I don't know if somebody's got a different translation. John 5, verse 44.
Mine says, no wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor each other, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Sure.
That's it. We've got to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else is going to fall into place, you know. Faith cannot coexist with the fear of man. Faith cannot coexist with cannot coexist with the fear of man.
Yeah.
If I fear man, faith is going to struggle to partner. Being more concerned what someone else will think of us for a particular decision than what God thinks of us. It is impossible to please God apart from faith. And the pursuit of favor has everything in the world to do with pleasing God. We want the favor of God, we need to please him. Him first. Every thought and action needs to be driven by the goal of hearing the declaration from heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to, because that's the conclusion. Every thought and action must be driven by the goal of hearing that declaration from heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. So that ends that chapter, chapter 2. We've taken three lessons to get through one chapter. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we can chat around this, because I'm sure you've got some thoughts on it. Okay. I do thank you, Jesus, that you are the ultimate example of someone who walked on this earth and grew in favor with God and with men. You modeled to us how to grow in favor. Mm-hmm. You were full of wisdom. You were full of grace, full of graciousness. You were good. You were humble. Jesus, you set the example for us. And I know in my life, I see all of the areas where I fall short, and I know that I have not yet attained everything that you've set before me. And yet, Jesus, I know that I know that I know that I simply want to hear you say, well done, my child. Well done, my daughter. You did good. Every day I set that as a goal before me, that at the end of the day, I can go to bed knowing that you've said to me, well done, Susie, you did good. And I know that is the cry of every woman's heart here in this room. Chantal, I just sense in my spirit that your father wants to say to you that you did good. You need to hear the voice of the Father in your life. Because he's speaking over you and he's saying, you did good. Do not listen to the voice of the enemy that tries to bring condemnation, but receive from your Father and know that he is saying to you that you did good. Hear that. Father God, if there's any other woman in this room that needs to hear the voice of their father just encouraging them and saying, you did good, well done, I pray that they would receive that and hear that today. I want to thank you, Father, for every woman here that does so many things in secret, in a good sense. The things of sowing into lives, of cooking a meal, of sharing a word of encouragement, of doing something that is of an encouragement to somebody else, and very few people see it. I want to thank you for their willingness to sow and to be used by you. And I pray that each one of us would grow in our desire to please you more. Because I know, Father, that this is a journey, and that I do mess up, and that I make mistakes. But you're there to come alongside us and pick us up and say, it's okay. Get moving again. Don't live under condemnation. Receive my conviction. Repent and move on. And so I thank you, Jesus, that you go before us, that we can fix our eyes on you, that we receive encouragement from you, and you fill us. I thank you for that. And so I just pray that as each of us go our separate ways today, that you would release us with a deep sense of knowing that we are daughters of the living King, the living God, and that his hand of blessing and favor is upon us, and that favor can only increase as we continue to seek his face. And so thank you for this, my Jesus. Amen.
Amen.